from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Atlanta, an absolutely picture-perfect Saturday afternoon in the great city of Atlanta and the great state of Georgia. I am with you for E. Put them up. The full four. Got you till 6 o'clock tonight when our buddy Dylan, Dylan Matthews, will come your way then. You know, it's funny, E. Dylan and I, we were doing the Falcons game last night, and we'll get to that in just a second. Woof. But we were leaving here at like 12:15 last night, and we were like, hey, I'll see you in like 5 minutes. Because he's coming up after me, and we were putting in the late night shift. I know last time this happened, you were like, Turtle, I don't feel bad for you at all. You're doing Falcons Radio Network. You're hosting your show. Life ain't too bad, brother. And I get it. You're
well,
right.
There's some days I do. I'm like, damn, man, you on 15, 16, 17 in a row. That part, I know you need a break. But, you know, when you're making those extra bonus checks, because, you know, I ain't going to put all the business out there, but the Falcons Radio Network is considered a, what would you call it, a extra assignment for you.
Yeah,
and you get a extra pay for it. So I'm happy for you. I ain't mad at you. Save some of that up, man. You know, do your thing.
Absolutely. Well, the problem is, the only problem this preseason, last night, bruh, was...
Right. So did you prefer the 12 noon kickoff of the week before?
Yeah, well, at least we were done, and I had my whole night ahead
right.
of me.
Yeah, but you had to be here, like, what, 9 o'clock in the morning?
Well, that's true. But you know what the problem is the game was 31-0, bro. Ooh, my. That was something to get through last night. But that's not what we're going to talk about. And by the way, this is funny, right? The past couple of weeks, as I do my show prep, finishing up putting things together in the morning, of course, I have Mr. John Fricky on listening to his show. And the past couple of weeks, I have gotten inspired by something that Mr. John Fricky has said, which is great because that means we either have shared opinions or differing opinions, and both of which are what makes sports talk radio great. Now, it just so happens that for the past 2 weeks, I have vehemently disagreed with what John Fricky has to say. And I wanted to come on here and open up with the Braves, but I will get to my Braves topic a little bit later in the show. I think, based off of what I heard from the passion of you all on the phones, and you know, much like John as well, when I do my weekend shows or if I fill in on the night show, I do like to talk to you guys because I think, you know, I can just sit here for 20 or 30 minutes and give you my opinion, but I don't want to hear myself talk for that long. I don't know about y'all, but that's why I like to interact with you guys and gals out there. So the number, as always, 404-726-0929. And we'll start lining them up because I feel like Fricky really touched a nerve, and I didn't really realize that nerve was there. I didn't realize that everybody out there listening had such strong opinions about the Atlanta Falcons not playing any of their starters during the preseason. And I want to discuss that with you guys. So if you feel that the Atlanta Falcons completely dropped the ball and were being way too cautious in their planning and execution of their three preseason games, I want to hear from you. I also want to hear from you if you feel like, no, do not play these guys. We already lost Helms, and we already lost Rondale Moore, and we lost Braylon Trice, and that is more than enough injuries for one preseason, and, you know, how many reps are they going to get anyway, and all the different machinations of why you don't play your starters in the preseason. So, again, 404-726-0929. I thought Fricky really hit on something, and I want to continue that conversation. Now, where do I stand on that? I don't think the starters should have played, but I do think Michael Penix should have played. And that's where John Fricky and I have differed. And as a matter of fact, E, I don't know if you heard yesterday, but Carl Dukes and I went round and round, as we often do, because he didn't feel like Michael Penix needed to play.
You mean Carl and Oren were tagging up on you? I heard you, brother. I heard it. I felt for you.
Well, listen, when you have a losing argument, sometimes it's better to have numbers on your side to try to boost your case.
Because Oren was over here playing that.
I didn't need Oren to tag team up on Carl. Because I know I'm right. Mm-hmm. That's all right. Carl can take his losing argument and have his friends and have them, you know, have Oren playing drops and cuts and doing all that. You know, I don't need that. I don't need all that fancy stuff. I'm good just the way I am. And my opinion hasn't changed, and it will not change. Here's how I feel about the preseason. The starters don't necessarily need to play. Especially, I heard a lot of offensive line talk. Guys, this offensive line has some of the most continuity in the entire NFL. Everybody's back. Now, I know there's concerns about McGarry and Dahlman and snapping the ball and doing the whole thing, and I get that. And I share those concerns to a minimal degree. I think as long as they can hold up in pass blocking, they're going to be just fine. But the one thing I don't like is having our backup quarterback, who's never taken a snap in the NFL, have 16 throws for an entire preseason. I don't think that's enough. I think there was ample opportunity to get him in there for more than just 25 plays, 16 throws, where he was 9 for 16 for 104 yards. No touchdowns and no picks. I don't think that's enough. I think this team needs to have every single thing working for it to reach its maximum result. There's no room for error here. This team has gone 6-7 years now without making the playoffs. They're not in a position right now to make any mistakes. And I think the margin of error that they have, especially with the way that their first three games shake out, that margin is incredibly slim. That margin is not something that you can take for granted. So, God forbid Kirk Cousins needs to miss even just a series or a couple of drives in a game. Guys, he's 36 years old. He's not a spring chicken anymore. And he's coming off of a devastating injury. So, I'm okay with the bulk of the starters not playing, because there's a lot of jobs that are already secured. We know with Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons in the fold, you have your premier edge rusher, you have your premier safety. Jesse Bates is fine. Now, Clark Phillips, maybe give him more reps. Because is he an established starter in this league? Mike Hughes, is he an established starter in this league? No. So is there an argument to be made for those guys? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, do I think it's going to be an earth-shatter? Like, if they lose to Pittsburgh, it's not going to be because Kirk Cousins and the first-team guys didn't play. They're going to lose because they just got beat. This is not last year's team with Desmond Ridder, where you didn't know if he was coming or going, and you didn't know exactly what you were getting from some of the guys that are now established in the league. Like Drake London is now established in the league. He was coming into his second year last year. Kyle Pitts is now established in the league, and he's 100% healthy, and he looks amazing. We'll see what happens with Bijan. This is a huge year for Bijan. But this time last year, I think the argument was different. Now, Carl and I were joking around yesterday. Grady Jarrett, he's coming off an injury. Could he have used a rep or two? I wouldn't have been opposed to it because he's a guy that you need. You're counting on Grady. Like, you have depth on the defensive line, but damn, you're counting on Grady Jarrett to be Grady, to anchor that defensive line, be your captain and your leader, and show that he's still one of the top five defensive tackles in the NFL. Would I have been mad if he knocked some of the rust off? Absolutely not. I heard this on Fricky's show too, guys. You cannot play, coach, scheme, scared. This league will expose you like that. Snap of a finger. So 404-726-0929. Do you agree with me that not the end of the world that the starters didn't play? Because I think most of our starters, being experienced veterans, they'll be fine come week one against Pittsburgh. Or do you feel like it's a big deal that, no, Turtle, they need reps, man. These guys can't just walk in to Mercedes-Benz on week one, you know, take the field, put their hands in the dirt, and just let it fly. And then specifically, how do you feel about Michael Penix? Are you comfortable with Michael Penix getting a total of 16 throws, 25 reps, and being put on ice? Is that how you feel? Is that where you're at today? Or, nah, it'll be fine. Michael Penix is a pro. He came from big-time universities. He had multiple years of starting in college. He got reps in practice. He got reps versus Miami. And everything's fine. I don't agree with that sentiment. I just don't. I always use the comparison of the Braves when they didn't go out and make the move for another starting pitcher. And we'll talk about this later in the show. Why not do every single thing possible to make yourself as championship caliber as you possibly can? If the option's available to you, right, to either play the starters in the preseason, grab that extra outfielder or that extra pitcher on the trade deadline, to make that extra move in the NBA for a backup point guard that you don't really have, unless you're absolutely stone-cold salary cap strapped, why not do it? If you are a team that feels that they're in the mix to compete for a playoff spot, then you make the move. So, listen, Michael Penix Jr. getting a healthy amount of preseason reps so that he's as ready to go as possible should Kirk Cousins, we were joking around yesterday, E, need a blow, which wasn't Carl, of course, loving to take what I was saying completely out of context. No, I didn't mean a blow as in he's gassed after running 60 yards down the field. I mean he needs a blow because he turned his ankle in a play, and rather than risk him playing on an injured ankle, you sit him for a week and let it heal. That's the type of blow I'm talking about. And when and if Michael Penix Jr. needs to go in there, is he going to be ready to go? So 404-726-0929, that's what we're going to start with today, because I was listening to Fricky's show, and I really feel like he elicited some fire from the fan base. So I want to continue that as I go with you here on the afternoon. Ken's in Atlanta. He's up first. Ken, were you cool with the Falcons sitting all their starters for the preseason?
I'm a little bit half and half. I think we should have played some starters, but I'm 100% with you. Michael Penix Jr. should have played. Like, he's a rookie. There's no reason not to play him. I don't think any of our third, fourth wide receivers got any real play in the last two games with Taylor Heinicke throwing them the ball. Like, did they get any real chances to develop? Did they get any chances to grow? No. So why not play Michael Penix and give them a real shot? And we've had, the last few years, a bunch of 7-10s. We have had a history of just not playing our starters in the preseason. And that doesn't seem to be – I feel like we have new pieces. We have a new offense. There's no reason really not to give them guys a burn against some different competitions, some different looks. Just a little bit more. Maybe two series a game, something light, but not a whole quarter. But that's just me. Go ahead, boss.
Yeah, Ken, I appreciate the phone call, man. I agree. Listen, Paddock and Heinicke, E, you know what they combined for yesterday? 80 yards. You're not getting, as Ken just said, it's a great point. Guys like Casey Washington and Chris Blair that are trying to make this team, that's not work. That's not work for them. Like, you need to have your team, again, you need to have your football team as ready to go week one as possible. And even if that means sitting the starters, you got to have the backup guys who may be called upon. It's, what's the cliche? You're a play away from going into the game. Are they ready? That's the question. All right, more of your calls when we get back. 404-726-0929. Do you agree with me and Ken that, you know, Michael Penix Jr. should have gotten a little bit more run, man? I don't know how ready he's going to be. And also the other starters. I'm more on the okay side of them sitting than I am how I feel about Michael Penix Jr. But you tell me, where do you fall? Are you okay with the Falcons not playing their starters all preseason? And how do you feel about Michael Penix Jr.? You feel comfortable that he'll be ready to go or not? Your calls are next. It's really funny. I didn't realize the reaction was as strong as it is until I was getting ready for my show today. Chris Thomas with you till 6, that y'all are so fired up about to play or not to play, and Coach Ra and Terry and all the Falcons staff decision to not play the starters and also not play Michael Penix more than just 16 throws and 25 plays in the preseason. So that's what we're going to talk about today, because if you're fired up about it, then you damn sure better well know that I'm fired up about it. So let's go. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Do you agree with me that not playing the starters is not that big of a deal? Or do you think that they absolutely should have played, part one? And then part two, are you comfortable with Michael Penix Jr. being the backup with only getting limited reps? I am not. I am in the camp of he should have definitely played more. So two-parter for you today. How do you feel about the starters not playing? And then how do you feel about Penix being the backup and only getting limited reps? Let's start with Dave and McDonough. Dave, you're in the game.
Hey, Chris. Hey, listen, do me a favor. I want you to take your fan jersey off for just a second and put your coach's cap on. All right? So hear me out. First of all, the first decision of not playing the starters is absolutely 100% fine. That's fine. I totally get it. It's not a game that counts. I don't want to risk any risk of injury. We know who's going to play. We know what we can do. Fair enough. And I think that decision answers your second question. Am I going to put Michael Penix behind a row of non-starters against a number one team starters on the other side, who's begging to get a shot at staying on that team, and all of a sudden I've got a kid from Jacksonville who needs one sack to convince a coach he can be there and do something stupid and take Penix out because I'm not playing my starters. Penix is behind my third line. That doesn't make any sense. Now, I would have played Penix a little bit more in the first game or the second game when I had some starters in and out to protect him and have some good reps. I get that. But I am not playing him in the third game, especially if none of my starters are playing. That's too big of a risk for me at that point.
Well, here's the thing, and I understand exactly what you're saying. And yes, from a schematic standpoint, I understand that what you're saying would make sense. But here's my question. Is it sacrilegious for the first offensive line to go out and play two series with Penix behind center? Is that, like, against some godforsaken rule that I'm not aware of?
No, I wouldn't say it's sacrilegious. I think it was just a commitment by the coach to say, we're going to give every man a shot that's on that second, third line string, and this is when they get that shot. And so you guys take a breather. We're going to let these other guys give it everything they've got, and because of that, I'm not going to put my number one draft pick behind that line. I'm sorry. And it's not so much that I don't have faith in my guys. I don't want to take a risk, as I said, on some guy on the other side of the lines trying to do something special to get a gleam in the coach's eye and does something stupid, and now I have no number one draft pick ready
but
to play.
But that wasn't the case last night, was it, though? Right? They played their starters.
Well that's okay, fair enough, but I don't know that going in. I don't know that going in. If I've already committed going
well,
in,
no, they
that
did
I'm
know that going
in.
Hang on a second. I'll let you finish. But you know what the problem is, Dave? They did know that. You know when Doug Peterson announced that his starters were going to play? Monday. So they had ample time to make that decision, and that's what they chose to do.
So let me respond to that then. My argument still stands, and that is this. I still have my number three line in there, and I don't want – or number two or number three in the line. Heck, I could have a four line in there. I don't know. I don't want Penix going in against anybody unless it's my starting line. So if I committed in the beginning to say I'm not going to start any of my starters, then that decision determines what happens to Penix in my book.
So the bottom line is this then, and I appreciate the call. You are okay with Michael Penix Jr. going into a potential game, let's say it's week four or five, having only thrown 16 throws and 25 preseason plays. That's what it comes down to, right? That's the decision. If you are going to do what Dave says, and his points are fair, presented him in a very well-collected, well-thought-out manner. But the decision remains that if that's what you're going to do, you need to be okay with Michael Penix Jr. taking 16 throws, 25 snaps, and the rest of the plays being against the same guys he sees in practice every day. That's ultimately what it comes down to. 404-726-0929. Let's see what Shermonte in the A is thinking. Shermonte, what do you think?
Hey, I think we overreacting. I absolutely agree with Raheem with the choice that he made. It's a useless game. I'm fired up about this season, for them with the Penix situation. It may be something with Kirk. Kirk may not be to his full potential or what. So I'd rather play it safe with all the injuries that we went through in the first couple of games and whatnot. But it's not a big deal to me at all.
No, that's fine, Shermonte, and I thank you for the call. But again, it's risk versus reward. You are now just trusting. And again, with the other starters, I tend to agree for the most part, right? That with the other starters, it's mostly fine. Like, I think the offensive line, again, their continuity and their ability to come back all five strong, that's great. And I think ultimately they'll be fine. Kirk Cousins, do I think he needs preseason reps? No, I do not. And I wouldn't have put him in anyway because despite what Carl Duke says, he's not 100% just yet. All right, before we go to break, I want you to hear a couple of things straight from the horse's mouth. This was Terry Fontenot pregame talking about balancing reps in the preseason.
Yeah, a great question. And like you said, those joint practices are really important. And then you also make sure that you're practicing the right way. And the coaches have Raheem has a specific plan of what we need to see in terms of practice, not just the ones on twos, but the ones on ones and the scrimmages, the contact. And those are all those things are important. And yet when you can control it in that kind of setting, and then just you got to be selective with what you do in the preseason game. Look, there's some guys that you want to get more of evaluation on. There's different things you want to look at regarding your depth. And so you got to be really smart about how you handle that. But we got to get ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers ultimately, and you handle that through practice and through these games.
Yeah, again, it's just pick your poison, I guess, right? I mean, you lose Helms, you lose Trice, you lose Rondale Moore. Obviously, huge blows for the team. But you can't not play football, right? Like, there's a reason that the first quarter of the season has become hot garbage, right? Because the teams are still figuring themselves out. All right, one more cut here. Let's hear from the man himself, Raheem Morris, on why Michael Penix Jr. isn't playing.
Going back to what Delay was asking about, when it came to Michael Penix specifically and not getting him out there to have any live reps today, I'm curious what else went into that process, thought process with him specifically, and what you saw from him throughout maybe the preseason, the first preseason game, and into this week.
Torrey, it was all about that, right? Last week, we wanted to get him out there and get a feel for what he was in live game, which we kind of already knew. Wanted to see him be able to answer questions, talk about it on the sideline, go out there and execute, make mistakes, and know what to do. Like when he looked the wrong way, getting right to the check down. He did a lot of those things a lot, but it took a hit last week, should have changed the protection. He's able to clearly communicate those things. I mean, we've seen enough last week of Michael Penix and the live stuff, and now we had the chance to mitigate him in practice. And you know, we give him a bunch of live stuff out there in practice that you do everything that you would do in a game other than get hit. But you know, we feel really good where we're at with Michael. We feel really good where we're at with the other guys that we set, and we treated that the same way. But Mike showed us last week enough that we don't have to play him in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But at the same time, E, help me out here. Am I crazy to say that those live reps in practice that he's talking about are just not the same as game reps, man?
They're not.
They're just not, right?
They are not. They are not. They are not. Even Judon, who hasn't given you a full practice yet, any defensive lineman out there who beats their offensive lineman takes a half a step off of their rush because they don't want to even get close enough to smell his deodorant, okay?
Right.
When the real pressure is coming, when T.J. Watt comes off that edge in 2 weeks, there's no taking a step off. There's a step through the chest of whatever quarterback's back there. It's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same. Secondly, quarterbacks gamble more in practice than they do in a real game.
Well, the other thing, too, is they always finish the play.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest difference. And that's something that I know that a lot of you out there listening haven't gotten a chance to see because preseason wasn't the same this year in terms of training camp because it was closed. But in those drills where they're doing the pass rush against offensive line, defensive line, the quarterback not only does what E's saying, but then he always finishes the play. And that doesn't happen in live reps, man. You get either hit or you make the throw, right? That's what I'm talking about. It's just the sort of thing where in the NFL, you can't simulate scrimmaging this way. It's just not, it's not the best method of doing business, man. It's just not. All right, 404-726-0929. When we get back, we're going to be joined by our buddy Taryn Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com. What did she see in the game? She had to endure being there for that 31-0 drubbing. So we'll get her take on everything Atlanta Falcons next. What does she think about the preseason? All that and more coming up. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. And, of course, take us with you anytime and anywhere on that good old Odyssey app. Yeah, 31-0, 150 yards of total offense, two touchdowns given up to Trevor Lawrence, Cartersville stand up, another one given up to Mac Jones. Who? Mac Jones. Yeah, it wasn't pretty, but the good thing is it doesn't matter because it doesn't count. And basically, everybody that was on the field for the Atlanta Falcons last night will at best be seeing limited reps in games. So with that said, nice backdrop for you as we head out to the WaitFor.com hotline. Welcome in our buddy Taryn Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com. Taryn, you were there last night, I'm assuming, and you got to witness that in all of its glory. There wasn't much to take away, but what stood out to you, maybe particularly like a Donovan Mutton on defense?
Yes, I was there. It's kind of funny because I had half my story written by halftime for the buzzer. And it's just, I'm ready for real football. You did mention Donovan Mutton. He had 18 tackles, I believe it was. But he also played basically the entire game, so you kind of expect that. It's just what's really interesting now is what's coming up on Tuesday and the 53-man roster deadline. So I'm relieved that the exhibition games are done because I'm ready for it to matter and for 90 to become 53. Because I take roll at each practice, and it's a lot easier when there are only 53 people to check off.
Yeah, especially when the Falcons are bringing in new guys seemingly every single day. We'll get to those new guys in a second. But Taylor Heinicke, Taryn, he's had an up and down preseason, to say the least, but every mock I'm reading, he's still projected to be there as the emergency QB3. Is that what you are assessing as well?
I'm actually working on my 53-man projection to run Monday right now, like right before we hopped on this call. And I went back and forth for the longest time. So I'm going to spoil part of my projection for Monday. Be sure to check it all out when it is live. I went back and forth for so long as to whether or not I wanted to keep Taylor Heinicke. And I ultimately did. The only reason I hesitated is because with the emergency third quarterback rule changing this year to where the quarterback can now be on the practice squad and be elevated with unlimited amounts. I saw that last night and I didn't know. I feel like it wasn't advertised all that much. I was like, okay, well, in that case, maybe put him on the practice squad. But then I thought there's no way he would clear waivers. There's no way. I'm not willing to take that risk if I were the Falcons. So Taylor Heinicke is getting placed on my 53-man roster.
Not to give away more of that, but I am curious about your take about a couple of guys here in Carlos Washington Jr., Jace McClellan. There's obviously a duel going on there for who will be the third running back. Without giving it away, do you feel like there's been an edge one way or the other for that spot?
Yeah, that one was a tough one too, because we've seen so much more of Carlos Washington this season or this preseason, I feel like. But when you look at the numbers, Jace McClellan has performed better if you just look straight at rushing yards. So it is another difficult decision, and you do have to think again, who's going to be able to be around for the practice squad? I don't mind giving another one away. I do have like one surprise that I won't give away in my 53-man, and I'm curious to see what my editor and coworker think of it when it does hit their inbox. But
we're not carrying two punters, are we, Taryn?
No. I'm not that crazy. But it does. The special teams did play into my decision. But when it comes to Jace and Carlos, I have Jace getting the nod over Carlos. Even though Carlos is a great guy, we had him on the podcast, and he is just so much more comfortable in year two. I just see him being around for the practice squad more than Jace.
Yeah, it just comes down to a matter of what else can you do, right? Because when you start talking about, you know, 48 through 53, you got to be able to contribute in multiple ways. We're talking with Taryn Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com, breaking down the game from last night, if you want to call it that, and then projecting what's going to happen for Tuesday's cut deadline. All right, so the overarching decision, right, for Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot to be conservative, they lost obviously three contributors early on in the preseason. Did you sense any sort of change in vibe from the guys in terms of, you know, knowing that they're not going to be suiting up? I know they did a walkthrough warm-up yesterday, but everything was still all positive and everything after the game. It wasn't like, oh, we just got our butts whipped in the preseason and now we have some questions. I'm assuming everything was all good.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the players who did play are bummed about the loss, of course, because they were the ones who were on the field and contributing to it. But when it comes to like overall vibe, I don't think anyone is necessarily upset with Raheem's decision to not play any starters and also not a lot of the backups, especially given the three hits that came in Miami when it came to injury. So I think if you're going to do it, stick by it, which is what Raheem has done. He's like, all right, after that, we're not doing it again. I'm not risking it. The risk versus reward is not there. And it's just last night, super interesting to see that decision play out in live time, considering the Jaguars did play their starters. So you had like their ones versus the Falcons twos and threes. So it obviously will look skewed. But again, would you rather take a loss in the preseason and have everyone healthy come week one, or be undefeated in the preseason and risk? It's risk versus reward. Like, I don't know. You can't guarantee people are going to stay healthy, but you also can't guarantee people are going to get hurt. So those are decisions that are well above my pay grade, thankfully. I don't know that responsibility would ever, like, I would ever enjoy it, because fans want to see the starters, but also should understand that there is the risk of injury. I even go back and forth, because I know I said at the beginning of the preseason, I want to see at least one series of Kirk Cousins live, But then Miami happened, and I was like, ooh, that might be tougher now to admit.
Yeah, and I think the Falcons obviously felt the exact same way as you just described there. So another question that's above your pay grade, but I'm going to ask it anyway. The defensive line rotation, and I was having a conversation with our buddy Joe Patrick about this the other day. There are so many worthy bodies, I'll say, in that room. So what, in your opinion, do you think the Falcons do in terms of a rotation? Are they going to have, you know, multiple guys for multiple series? Are they going to do, you know, no, we have our starters and the backups will go in as any other regular team would? Or are they going to say, you know what, we're breaking the mold here. We're keeping eight defensive linemen and they're all going to play. Dang it.
How did you know I was keeping eight? Come on now. It's like you can see my Word document. But I think they are going to keep a good amount, and I think it is going to be because of rotation. We've seen a lot of different defensive sets out there, and Raheem has said before that he wants to make, like, clones, essentially. Like, if Grady Jarrett is out, who is the Grady Jarrett clone that they can plug in and there won't be a massive fall-off? So the starters are the starters, but those behind are supposed to be able to pick up the weight if a starter does go down. And it's going to be in a similar play. But the rotation also comes in where they have different options where they can do all different things. But I don't see a reason to not go heavy on the defensive line because there is so much talent there that when you are trying to be like, well, should I get rid of this person? Because he deserves it just as much as this other one. It's like back and forth that it's difficult to slim that group down.
When it comes to the secondary, obviously it looks like they're going to go with Mike Hughes, barring something unforeseen as that cornerback two spot. But a couple of guys not named Clark Phillips have been jumping out lately in Antonio Hamilton, as well as Kevin King, who now they're using at safety, even dabbling a little bit at linebacker for a couple of plays. Do you foresee King's role being a Swiss Army knife, or do you think he has a legit chance to start?
I see him being the Swiss Army knife. I know Jerry Gray thinks very highly of Kevin King, and he has said he is versatile and he can play just about every position in the secondary. And you, as you said, like, you've seen that this preseason alone. So there's beauty in that, where if, say, Mike Hughes goes down or somebody who even in the safety position, Kevin can step up and be an option at either place. So I have Kevin King making it. I think just because he had two seasons away doesn't mean he didn't pick up where he left off. If anything, he's more motivated now because he's aware of what it was like to be away from the sport. So he's an interesting one for sure. And I think he's had the most versatile preseason.
Our stay, 92.9 The Game, ended for training camp. We were not there last week, so I need you to fill me in on what you were able to see and glean from the two new stars in Matthew Junaut and Justin Simmons. What type of work have they been able to put in so far?
So it's been limited, which Raheem Morris did warn us about as soon as they signed it was going to be. They kind of want to make sure they don't throw him into the deep end too much because it was the end of training camp and they'd rather them be healthy come week one. But Matthew Judon did play in the scrimmage and it was really good to see him out there. I'm excited to see what he can do. I know the Falcons and especially their fans have been looking for someone to be that star on the edge, and they couldn't have asked for more in someone like Matthew Judon. And it's like the same thing with safety. Like, the question for the longest time is who's going to be opposite of Jesse Bates. It was between Richie Grant and DeMarco Helms. Of course, Helms is now injured. So we thought it was going to be Richie Grant, but insert Justin Simmons, and it's like, okay, the battle begins all over again, and Justin Simmons is a veteran. So seeing him eventually play alongside Jesse will be really fun, I think, just because of their experience in the league. Justin didn't participate, but I think that's just a precautionary and kind of like getting reacclimated. I know they're both grateful for that reacclimation period, so they, when they do take full reps in practice, it's not like they're hesitating or nervous at all.
Wrapping up our conversation with Taryn Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com. Make sure you check out her latest 53-man roster coming out early next week. All right. This may be another difficult question to answer because it's more ethereal in nature, I'll say, but it's, I think it's an important one to ask because we all know that this team, Taren, had expectations going into the season. Before Matthew Judon, before Justin Simmons, this team, it felt, it looked, it was acting and performing on and off the field like a team that is in serious business for playoff contention. With those two new additions, have you seen or felt any sort of added fire, spark, motivation from the team? Is anyone saying anything differently? Because just in my opinion, when you add the talent and the caliber of those two players, it exponentially increases, I think, what you can dare to dream, let's say, Taren, about what this season could be.
No, for sure. What's tough is, like, internally, I don't know that it's changed the conversation all that much, because since the start of the preseason, the Falcons players and coaches alike have been very, very optimistic. There's a reason they didn't draft anyone in the secondary. It's because they were so confident in the weapons that they had at their disposal already. Same thing with the edge, because you look at Lorenzo Carter. Oh my gosh, I just tried to merge the two names together. Lorenzo Carter and Arnold Ebiketie, like, they had options. Sure, the signings of Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons are massive, and it has, like, created a buzz around the facility. Like, players are excited. Like, those two players' resumes speak for themselves. But at the same time, it's just kind of reaffirming what they already thought, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think, again, when you add the level of – I mean, these aren't just two – guys to fill holes. These are two of the guys that are the best at what they do in the entire National Football League. All right, Taren, appreciate the time. As always, we'll be checking out your mock draft next week.
Thanks.
All right, that is Taren Walk of AtlantaFalcons.com. When we get back, I'm going to let you hear something very interesting that both Justin Simmons and Matthew Judon had to say about coming to Atlanta. And also, I need to get E's opinion on something. I was invited to a themed party tonight. Are we in or are we out on themed parties? I have a very particular take on this that I'm going to bounce off E, and I want to get your opinion as well. Hit me up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio. I'm about to put up a poll. Themed parties. Are you in or are you out? By the way, if you're not watching Georgia Tech and Florida State, damn, it's a good one. I'll get you updated on that as well. Coming back in five. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey App.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.